The Velvet City, The Kingdom of the Lost, Book 4, written and read by Isabel Carmody. The long pool lay flat and black in the frozen whiteness, a haze of steam hanging motionless above it. The stillness and silence after months of shrieking ice blizzards made everything feel perilous and strange. Shluti found it hard to believe the endless howling black night that was winter in the north was coming to an end. It was dreadfully, dangerously cold, though. Shluti had pitched his tent at the very edge of the hot pool. Even so, he needed the box Seshla had given him, otherwise he would freeze to death. He climbed out into the icy night and set off around the pool, staying close to the edge. But his nose and cheeks were burning when he reached the far end. He went no further, for deadly ice winds blew ceaselessly through the only gap in the frozen peaks that surrounded the hidden place. The night beast had brought him to the settlement at the start of winter. He had been at the end of his strength and would have died had not he been rescued. He had been determined to search for Flugel and Semmel as soon as he recovered. But the longful night had begun making it impossible to leave the protection of the island, with its surrounding ice peaks and hot, spring-fed pools. The night beast alone could endure the terrible cold beyond the hidden place. Shluti had tried to be patient, but the previous night, when Seshla had come to the little round hut he shared with Bili, to announce that the old monks were allowing her to travel across to the mainland with the night beast to search for the digger's trail, he had begged to go with them. Seshla refused, but said he might wait by the long pool. She had promised they would return by dusk. In the north, winter was one endless night, yet the monks lived as if there was day and night. There was no sign of movement through the gap, so he went back to the tent to wait. The longful night had taught him all he ever wanted to know about waiting. Shluti had struggled to match Beedi's grace and patience through the winter, but too often, when he had lain awake trying to remember what happened to separate him from the diggers, Bili insisted it was impossible that Shluti had abandoned them. He was convinced the diggers were safe because they were clever and resourceful. Dear Bili, Shluti thought. Back inside the tent, he dug out the bottle of soup his brother had packed and unstoppered it. A rich, savoury steam curled from the mouth of the bottle, which had been stored in a pocket of the hot box. The maker device had come through the skycrack with all the other devices and machines in the Shimunk settlement. Shluti had often visited the temple pool, where four or five eldest Shimunks spent most of their time hoping to learn more about the makers. Sometimes he asked questions, but more often he simply listened.